Our scripture lessons this morning remind us of our need to forgive. Because of human frailty, we hurt one another, we sin, we fracture our relationships with each other and with God. And because of this, it requires that we daily seek forgiveness, confessing our sins and failings, as well as forgiving those who hurt us. The reality is only God is perfect. Only God always is loving and generously forgiving. Our call is to strive after God's ways, to seek to live like God. And we do so by practicing abundant love and abundant forgiveness. The Dutch priest and author Henry Nouwen writes, "Forgiveness is the name of love practiced among people who love poorly. The hard truth is that all people love poorly, and so we need to forgive and be forgiven every day, every hour increasingly. Forgiveness is the great work of love among the fellowship of the weak, that is, the human family." In our first lesson today from the book of Genesis, we have in Joseph an example of someone who overcomes that human weakness and responds to God's abundant love and generous mercy. Perhaps you know the story of Joseph. He's one of the sons of Jacob, who is also called Israel. Joseph is born when Jacob is old, and he is a favorite son of his father. His father gives him a distinctive coat with long sleeves. But because Joseph is favored by his father, his brothers become jealous of him. This jealousy is intensified when Joseph has dreams, and one dream says that he will someday reign over his brothers, and he shares this with them. And when he does so, his brothers come to hate Joseph even more. And so one day, the brothers plot against Joseph. They sell him to a passing caravan, and Joseph is taken to Egypt and made a slave. In Egypt, Joseph's ability to interpret dreams comes to the attention of Pharaoh. Joseph interprets Pharaoh's dreams as foretelling a famine that is coming. Pharaoh believes this and heeds Joseph's warning, and he puts Joseph in charge of preparing for the famine. Joseph becomes powerful in Egypt, second only to Pharaoh. When the time of famine comes, Joseph's father and his brothers are suffering. But they hear that there is food in Egypt, and so they go to Egypt seeking help. There they meet Joseph, and Joseph provides food for his father and for his brothers and gives them land to pasture their flocks. In the passage we hear today, Jacob, Joseph's father, has just died in Egypt. And the brothers worry that Joseph will bear a grudge against them because of their terrible actions. And so once again, the brothers scheme. They decide to tell Joseph that his father Jacob, on his deathbed, asked that he forgive his brothers, forgive them those awful things that they have done to him. Honestly, I find Joseph's response remarkable. He doesn't tell, as I might be tempted to do, he doesn't tell his brothers he's done with them because of their hateful treatment. Instead, Joseph asks the question, "Am I in the place of God?" Joseph, in that question, is saying that it is God's responsibility to judge, not ours. Then Joseph tells his brothers that God was able to bring good from their wicked actions. Through their actions, Joseph was allowed to feed many people during a great famine. So rather than seeking revenge, Joseph promises to care for his brothers and for their children. Joseph models for us the amazing, abundant mercy of God. Rather than seeking revenge, rather than hoping to hurt his brothers as he has been hurt by them, instead, Joseph forgives and promises to care for them. Joseph is able to see how God used his pain, his misfortune, for God's purposes. And Joseph rejects that very human desire that lies within the human heart to get even with his brothers, and instead leaves judgment to God. In our gospel today, Jesus likewise presents forgiveness as the way for his followers. He calls on his disciples to renounce the human impulse to seek revenge, to exact hurt on those who hurt us. Jesus teaches that the way of the kingdom of heaven is forgiveness. To illustrate this way of heaven, Jesus tells a parable about a Gentile king who conducts an audit of his kingdom's finances. And he discovers one of his administrators, that's what the word slave in the text means, one of his administrators, one who administers a wealthy province, has embezzled an immense amount of money from him. The amount of tax revenue he embezzles is equal to a day's wages of 100 million laborers. It's a staggering sum. There is no way possible for this man to ever make restitution. And so, because of that, the king decides to sell the man, his wife, his children, his possessions for his debts. This corrupt administrator pleads for time to repay his debt. And while this is not at all ever possible, nonetheless, the king hears his plea with pity, and he frees the man, and he forgives his debt. But then right after that, this corrupt administrator turns around and, having just himself been forgiven, comes upon someone that owes him a small sum of money, worth about 100 days' labor. The person who owes this money reasonably asks for more time to repay him, but the administrator refuses and throws the debtor into prison. When the other administrators hear about this action, they are furious and they petition the king. The king summons this corrupt administrator and he asks him, "Should you not have had mercy on your fellow slaves as I had mercy on you?" And so, this time in anger, the king hands him over to torture. Because this man did not forgive as he was forgiven, he is punished. Jesus tells this poignant and somewhat startling parable in order to teach us about the ways of God's reign. But I think we must approach cautiously any conclusions we make. The king is not entirely like God. God does not sell someone into slavery, nor condemn to eternal torture. God does not ask someone to remain in a dangerous or abusive situation, calling them to forgive repeatedly while remaining in harm's way. Repeated forgiveness does not help in those situations. Sins such as abuse and violence and exploitation should not be tolerated nor so easily forgiven. Serious offenses need to be confronted with a spirit of gentleness and compassion, and those at risk need to go to safety. And I also think forgiveness does not mean forgetting. We may never forget how someone seriously hurt us, nor should we. But we can still forgive them. We can let go of any desire, any need we have for revenge. But what the parable does teach us is that we must not be vindictive, that we are not to seek revenge on those who hurt us. Being human, when we are injured by someone, we often have an immediate impulse to lash out, to respond in kind. We may desire to hurt the one who has hurt us. We may want revenge on that person. Jesus is telling us in today's gospel, this is not the way of God's kingdom. Like the ancient example of Joseph, like the king in the parable, we are called to be like God in extending mercy and forgiveness. We can never be perfect as God is perfect. We don't always love everyone all the time. We will never perfectly forgive, always showing mercy and compassion to everyone. Instead, We need to admit that we are completely dependent on God. We can only hope to live by love, to forgive others, because of God's grace and strength. Our collect of the day makes this clear when we pray, O God, because without you, we are not able to please you, mercifully grant that your Holy Spirit may in all things direct and rule our hearts. The collect is telling us that we can do nothing pleasing to God without the gift of the grace and the love of God. It is only by the power of the Holy Spirit that we are able to overcome our human impulses. It is only by the power of the Holy Spirit that we can live by the pattern of God's love, by the way of love revealed in Jesus. It is only by God's help that we can resist the human temptation to get even with those who hurt us. Today, Jesus calls us to pray fervently for the strength to turn our hearts and turn our wills from human ways to the divine ways of the kingdom of heaven. By God's grace alone can we reflect the abundant, unending, undeserved, and generous forgiveness of God. We are called to forgive others not because we necessarily feel like it, and not because it comes to us naturally or easily. Rather, we are called to forgive others because we have been forgiven by God. God has shown us mercy as many times as is needed. We are imperfect, our love is weak, but God's love is perfect, and we are loved by God without reserve in embarrassing abundance, loved by the one whose love brings all things to completion, fullness, and perfection. In this age of anxiety and upheaval, we see all around us the harm inflicted as others seek revenge. We see the fracture caused by people lashing out in hate against those who disagree with them. We see in the most extreme situations the violence and the death that can be inflicted in living this way. Revenge is sought in ways small and large, in anger and hurtful words, in hateful social media posts, and in violence at peaceful protests, as well as in violence in war raged against a foreign enemy. But the promise this day is that God provides the strength we need so that we can live by a different way, walking in the way of love. If we accept God's call, if we rely on God's grace to forgive others as many times as is needed, I can't help but imagine how profoundly the face of the earth will be transformed by God's love. Amen.